Boom. And we are back once again after a week off. This is the Backflip Sports Podcast. I am Josh, and I'm joined by Petter once again. What's up, brother?
How's it going? Good to be here.
It's I just got done watching Hard Knocks, which officially means football is in the air.
I think you've said that the last couple of times.
Yeah, well, it keeps getting closer and closer and closer. Like, college football starts in, like, 18, 17, 16 days now. It's all coming together, man. There's actually football on the TV starting tonight, and actually the Vikings start tomorrow.
Have you had that morning yet, that crisp morning where you just walk outside and you're like, yep, football season?
There was one, like, 1 or 2 weeks ago, but I haven't had, like, the heavy dew on the car in the morning yet. That's okay, when you know.
Yeah, that first day of school feeling.
Yeah, so it's coming. I can't wait. I can't wait for that first weekend where there's college and NFL real football, not preseason, but like where it's back to back, where like I don't leave my chair from like Saturday at 10 a.m. till the end of Sunday night football.
It truly is the greatest time of year for television. It is,
and I'll bet like 80% of the game, and me and Skev will like text the whole 2 days like cursing out teams and like because we're gonna lose so much money. It's ridiculous, dude. You should see what. We'll start. Well, the best part is about college football is the late Saturday night games, like the Pac-12 teams that don't start till like 9:30 at night. So depending on how you did during the day gambling, you like have to make it all up at the night, or you just go for the gusto and go for like and make a big make your whole night. And it's all because of those Pac-12 games, like Oregon versus Cal at like 11 p.m. and you're just yelling at some 20-year-old to, you know, get the first down.
Yeah,
it's insane. So, well, we today officially is the first post Mankato training camp. I mean, training camp's done, and yeah. 52 years in Mankato, and the Vikings are no longer at Mankato.
A new era, yeah.
So they're going to be going to their practice facility in Eagan now. Is where they're going to be holding training camp, which is, I don't know. Like, some people said it's a bad thing. Some people say it's a good thing. I don't think it's going to matter that much.
No.
Being in dorms for 2 weeks and the guys being kind of uncomfortable, but for fans, like, it was a cool experience. Like,
yeah.
They have the campus shut down for that time. It was pretty cool, but it's done. It's over, and they're on to Buffalo tomorrow night, yeah. The Vikings. So
Can I just say something on that? It's always tough when you break something that's been going on for half a century, but like it does make sense not to have them away from the cities. Like, why not just have it right where they're at? It makes sense to have the change.
Well, the reason they had to before is because they didn't have the facilities, but now they're going to. So
exactly, yeah.
It'll probably be better than I think they were staying in Gage Hall in Mankato, which is it's like any freshman college dorm you can think of, it's tough for like college freshmen. I can't imagine NFL players, like they're like offensive linemen, two of them sleeping in the same like college dorm.
Yeah, those lofted beds.
Yeah. So the first news from training camp so far is Latavius Murray's finally off the PUP.
He's no longer a PUP.
No longer a PUP. He wasn't even supposed to be on the PUP to start training camp. He had surgery like 6 days after he got signed here, and everyone's like, he'll be back for camp, he'll be back for camp. Do you think this was him finally like actually getting healthy, or was this him looking at the depth chart, seeing Dalvin Cook number one and all the talk about Dalvin Cook and going, I need to get my ass back out on the field?
I think he's back. He's not going to play tomorrow. Saying,
why is he back?
Because
he's been on record saying he doesn't like training camps.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I just think he has to come off the PUP before when? When's that cutoff?
I think it's before the last regular season game or before the regular season starts, or there's a day.
Okay. Yeah, then there probably is an aspect to him seeing Dalvin number one on the chart, but I also think he has a really good outlook going into the preseason games here, even though he's not going to be playing tomorrow. I'm not sure when you're going to post this, but it's Wednesday right now, Wednesday evening. So, yeah, I it was really cool. I read in the Star Tribune this morning that he realizes that it's Dalvin Cook. It's Dalvin's offense, like, as far as the running game is concerned, and he has to earn his touches. And I thought that was really cool of him, for him being the veteran presence and realizing that he's got to work his way back.
Well, yeah, he's smart like that. And it's a tough position for him signing a 3-year deal, but I think there's like an opt out after 1 year that kind of the Vikings can use to their advantage a lot. And then Dalvin Cook drops to him in the middle of the second, and they go, we can't pass this up. And from what I've heard, Cook has been outstanding in camp so far. I'm really excited to actually see him on the field. It's going to be weird having a running back that can pass block. I haven't seen that.
That'd be different.
So I'm excited to see all that. And another part of camp is this is the first training camp that Sam Bradford's went through.
Hey, look at that.
So I also read something in the Tribune earlier that talked about how Bradford just feels all more comfortable, obvious, and then that was obvious. Like, any guy who actually has time to, like, sit down and go through the playbook and the reads and all that, he's going to feel more comfortable than getting shoved in, what was it, like a week before the season? No, was it regular season he got traded? No, it was right before the end of the regular season.
Yeah, it was right before training camp ended.
Well, it was after training camp ended. It was in the middle of the preseason.
Yeah.
But he had no time to prepare.
Right.
So he feels comfortable, which, I mean, I don't know how much worse the offensive line can get, so he's got to be feeling better there. So, I don't know, reason for optimism, at least for the offense. It can't get much worse.
Right. It's really nice to have him, like, with almost a full year under his belt now with that system, and it looks like he's going to be being able to make more decisions under center once he steps up there. And if I was looking at linebackers creeping in, I'd probably want to be able to audible too.
Yeah, just having the option to change out of plays he doesn't like or doesn't like the look of is something that wasn't really available to him last year. So
for sure. Yeah, it'll be interesting. That offensive line is still making me really nervous. They shuffled guys in and out all camp, but I'm not sure if they've really decided on who's going to be there, because there have been minor injuries too, and I don't know.
Finally Riley Reiff came back, so that's been good. And speaking of the offensive line, everyone's old favorite lineman Matt Khalil had some choice words, I guess, this past week. Did you see that at all?
Unbelievable. Yeah. So,
Khalil, and I actually read the whole article, and really, he didn't say anything that bad. It was an article in the Charlotte Observer that said they just talked about the Khalil brothers and how this is their first time playing together because they're 4 years apart. And then Khalil was talking about his new offensive line coach and how this was the first time a coach has ever expected excellence of him. Well, naturally, those comments made their way back to Minnesota, and some of the Minnesota media members were talking to members of the Vikings about these comments. And Joe Berger was actually like, he sounded the most pissed off when he said something along the lines of, That sounds just like something a guy who used to play here is somewhere else now. Kyle Rudolph mentioned how every coach he's ever played for has expected excellence from him, and obviously Alex Smith didn't like the comments. He didn't go off the handle like he did when he heard like the owner or whatever for the Green Bay say he's looking forward to coming here for the Super Bowl, and Boone had some choice words for him, but hey, he was still mad. I don't know, the Minnesota fans versus Khalil has been a battle going on for 4 or 5 years now. It's been kind of weird. I thought it was kind of smart for him to get out of town. He got paid and he's playing with his brother. I think it was a good thing for both sides to kind of split off.
Yeah, and that quote saying this is the first time his coach, like, I feel like that quote and the fact that Minnesota media made something out of that, like, I think it was kind of making something out of nothing. I think it was more of a compliment to his new coach than dissing Minnesota coaches. Myself, no, I don't know.
I completely agree. I put that at the end of my post on Bat Flip. I thought, it didn't raise any red flags for me. But like you said, there's always going to be storylines, and Matt Kalil always was grabbing headlines when he was here, and he always tussled with fans. And do you remember his big thing was he post game one time, walking out, a fan must have said something, and Kalil went over and like flipped the hat off his head.
Oh geez, I know, I didn't see that.
Yeah, it was big news back then, and granted, I guarantee you that fan deserved it. But as a pro, like you gotta be above that.
For sure. And the other thing, what professional player needs his coach to demand excellence? Like, like, isn't that like a given? Like, if you're a professional athlete, why does your coach need to be demanding excellence? Why aren't you going out there and doing that yourself?
I think I think he was just talking like, hey, your coach pushing me. That's cool. I'm not against that. So preseason game one coming up, and fingers crossed the injuries don't start early this year and we keep going. But it's funny because ever since the deadline, this other team in Minnesota, I haven't paid attention to them really. And the Minnesota Twins apparently are still in contention.
Yeah. Everyone and every single person who followed the Twins through the deadline knows that they sold big time. Like, they bought and then they sold. They're apparently out of it at that point. But they are hanging around. They're two games out of the second wild card spot. Seattle won today. They have the second spot. New York is probably going to run away with the first and the one. New York or Boston, whoever doesn't win that, the East.
It's crazy to me. Like, what, we trade our closer, we trade who else we get rid of?
We got Jaime and then got rid of him.
That's right. We shipped him out after one, which was glorious. Yeah. Good for them for saying Kenshin. They can't keep it up though, right?
No. It is nice to see Polanco just broke out of a slump. Kepler hit a home run last night, I think. Maybe
Kepler hit two.
Kepler hit two. Eddie Rosario's been good. Dozier's kind of waking up a little bit. Like, they're starting to hit the ball. I just, like always, it's just that pitching, and then the bullpen is really, really scary, especially with Kinsler at the back end.
I think Bartolo's on the mound tonight. It's National League, so Bartolo's on the mound and in the batting box. So maybe we'll see a Bartolo stretching out a single for a double.
Oh yeah, for sure.
We might have to switch for a video of that.
Yeah, pretty soon we might have to switch our site name to Helmet Flip if it keeps.
I was actually back home this weekend at a an outdoor festival concert Friday night, and when I got home, I checked my phone and I saw a couple mentions on Twitter about Cologne. I saw Bartolo Cologne in a complete game, like jumbled up in certain tweets and stuff, and I didn't pay much attention to it. I woke up the next morning and I go, I couldn't have seen that, right? I look it up. Bartolo Cologne threw a complete game for the Minnesota Twins, and that was not a typo.
Yeah, and he gave up like a ton of hits and
four runs, I think.
Yeah, four runs, and like he just threw that many strikes to where he was fine that late in the game to keep going.
That's the guy can't get past the fourth inning most of the time, but he gets a complete game.
Yeah, and he's the oldest guy to do it since it was like Jamie Moyer in the overall, and then Nolan Ryan or something in the National League or in the American
Jamie
League.
Jamie Moyer played for the Twins at one point, did he not?
Ooh, I don't know.
I could swear. You know what? This is going to be great podcasting.
He played for the Twins at one point. But I don't know if it was ever with the Twins. I don't think so.
Nope. Wow, I was way off. He just spent his last 5 years in Philly. Maybe it's because he played for Seattle when I was like really into baseball, so I saw him all the time.
Could have been.
Huh. That dude's old. Yeah, the last like
solo, that a babe.
Yeah. Okay, so are they going to contend next year? Like, I know it's going to be cute that they're still competing now, but really we're looking forward to next year.
Yeah, it's still going to come down to pitching. This lineup is looking set, and they have a few options in the outfield. I thought Granit looked good enough when he came up, but he's back at AAA now. Just got to keep developing. Hit too many singles. He's got to hit a couple more doubles, and maybe not. He actually, I listened to a podcast, and it said he grounded into too many double plays, which was odd with that speed. And, mostly defense. I like Granit, though. He'll be good. And then it'll be fun to see what Royce Lewis can do in the coming years, and lots of development going on. It's just that pitching.
Pitching. Quick, before we move on from the Twins, did I see the MLB is doing like a nickname weekend thing?
Yeah, I'm actually writing on that right now.
That's good. So MLB is doing like the first time they're ever doing like a players weekend, which the big thing is going to be that they can have nicknames on the back of their jerseys if they want. I was looking through the Twins ones. We might be the worst team ever for nicknames.
Oh, it's so bad.
The most predictable thing ever is Mauer went with his own. He went Mauer. Like, he did not change.
It seriously says Mauer on his jersey?
Yeah, no, he didn't. It's just Mauer.
Oh, jeez.
Rex Grossman is Grossman.
What? That's such a good nickname name.
Yeah, it's just the worst.
That's just gross, man.
So, yeah, no, if you're writing something, you'll see them. But, some teams are probably going to have some cool stuff. What's up?
For my post, I'm just doing my least favorite five and my favorite five. And then
I hope your least favorite five are all Twins players because they're trash.
No, for designs, I'm not worried about the nicknames.
Of course you'd be more about the designs.
Yeah, for sure.
Don't you get tired of being a baseball hardo every once in a while?
The picking my five least favorite was a lot easier than my five favorites.
Yeah, well, go look at the nicknames for the Twins. It's just
at a couple of them. I couldn't even name the player by the nickname for most of them.
Yeah, it's bad. It's really bad. Like, really, really bad. Like last year's Twins team bad. All right, well, then finally, yesterday, or Tuesday, ESPN did a little call back to pop culture. An 2004 movie came out called Dodgeball with Vince Vaughn and Ben Stiller, which is sneaky one of my like favorite comedies from growing up. I think there's so many lines I like that are still used with me and my buddies. And the premise of the movie was this dodgeball tournament that they were in, and it was hosted on ESPN 8, the Ocho, which had all the weird sports games and tournaments on it. Well, ESPN finally got smart for the first time ever and didn't put another rerun of First Take up. They did something different. They said, hey, for one day only, we're going to turn an ESPN channel into ESPN 8, the Ocho, and we're going to showcase all these weird, weird sports games. So naturally, I tuned in at work because it's what I do. And I saw the championship of bags, cornhole championships. Like, they had different divisions, and they had stats. They had stats about, like, on the board average and in the hole average, and they were talking about the importance of going first and setting up the board for position. And they had a legit two-person announcing team doing it with it. It was great. It was awesome. Some other things they did, I was watching a little bit. They were having a Street Fighter tournament through esports, which actually esports is like blowing up right now. If I had like owner money, I'd be investing in esports because I think it's going to be huge. So did you watch it at all?
No, I don't have cable, and I saw like videos on Twitter and other tweets, but I did not watch. No,
they had like a I can't even pronounce the name of it, but they had some sort of version of like 7-on-7 tag, where guys were like linking arms and trying to get through other players.
Doesn't make sense to me. I saw a clip of that, and I was just like, "What in the world are they doing?"
Yeah, well, you being you that only likes baseball probably was thinking that this was the dumbest thing ever.
I just didn't understand it. Like, and I didn't watch long enough to, like, the clip wasn't long enough for me to learn the whole sport.
That's true. So my question to you here is, if you had to bring back one sport that would probably be featured on ESPN 8 that you'd want to play/watch, what would you pick?
I think to watch would be bubble soccer.
Would be what?
Bubble soccer, where soccer? People are in giant bubbles and then they can't.
Like bubble hockey.
No, bubble soccer, like where like the people go in the big giant bubbles and then they just like crush each other.
Okay. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So like no one even really touches the ball because no one can get close enough because they just hit each other before they can kick it.
Yeah, they all launch off each other and that. Yeah. That's fun to watch. That's cool, like, when they do that at, like, halftime at games you're at.
Yeah.
No, you're saying you would watch it. You wouldn't want to play it, right?
No, absolutely not. No. I choose life.
You're 5'3", you would get crushed.
Hey, low pads wins.
Low pad doesn't win in that. Low pad doesn't win on that. For me, I think I would want to see, like, Foursquare.
Ooh, is slamming allowed?
Oh yeah, no, they would have their rules. I hope so, but like, could you imagine like real like athletes that have practiced? Like they probably have like certain gloves on, and they're all shifting. And I think that would be like that'd be unreal.
I wonder what like what body type would be best for that. Would it be like the lanky guys that like just like?
I don't think lanky works though, because couldn't you like? You're more dangly that way.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think it would be
more like little shifty guys that can move quick and are agile.
It'd probably be more like running back styles, like short and strong guys.
I don't know. Maybe.
We got to come up with. I think the whole day for ESPN was a rousing success. Don't be shocked if they try doing that in a more concentrated effort wise. Like, I don't know if it would work all year round, but maybe if they did like a week of it in the dead of summer.
Yeah, like a Shark Week type deal.
I think that's something they're gonna explore.
For sure. Or else like one weekend every couple months when there's a dry spell in the sports world.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, how many times can you watch Highly Questionable or whatever the hell they else got on?
Well, the way they're getting rid of reporters, there's not going to be much else to do pretty soon.
Yeah, no kidding. They're in trouble. Cutting the cord is becoming a big, big deal. And when you have your...
Yeah. I have a couple more sports, if you can think of any more.
Yeah, let's hear them.
Okay, well, first off, slam ball. Like, that was on ESPN back in the day.
Yeah, that needs to come back.
Yeah, for sure. I think we've talked about slam ball before on a podcast.
Probably, but, like, there's still, like, when I'm scrolling through Facebook sometimes, there will always be, like, a once every other month, someone will share a slam ball, like, highlight tape, and I get sucked in every time.
Yeah, that has to come back. Okay, your turn. If you can think.
Rapid fire. Let's do a bubble hockey.
Like the table game?
Yes.
Okay. I got you.
I can't figure that. I did win at the bar the other weekend. I was pretty pumped about that. But that game is the most frustrating game, because if you just whip that puck around, like half the time it just falls in a net. Sometimes it's your own. So if you had like people that actually practice that game, like I would love to see the pros at work at that.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Lava tag. Classic playground game. having tons of obstacles.
I don't know if you can dig with the obstacles.
Lava tag, like you can't touch the ground.
Oh, lava. I thought you said lobby, like the hotel.
No.
Like, what the hell do you guys do?
No, right, lava tag.
Lava tag could work. Let's go. They already have ping pong, so that doesn't work. Let's go. Okay, what about like a beer pong? They do like World Series of beer pong.
Yeah, or just like drinking games in general. Like you could have beer Olympics.
Ooh, just beer Olympics. Okay, that's a great one. All right, your turn.
Absolutely. I have a couple that I just want to bring back. Like, do you remember when World's Strongest Man was on?
Oh yeah, I'd watch
so
that.
So what if you had you had to be like under a certain weight or like different weight classes for it instead of like
actual,
you could have average Joe as World's Strongest Man.
Okay, yeah, that'd be funny. Kick the can.
Ooh, nice.
Kick the can could get real aggressive.
Yeah, with actual athletes.
Oof. Yep. Do they have Ultimate Frisbee? Is that ever on? That's what they get pretty hardcore about that.
That would be sweet.
So yeah, see, there's tons and tons of games. The bags tournament, low key, was insanely fun to watch.
Wasn't there like seedings for that and stuff too?
They had 1 through 8, and each guy was sponsored by his bags were like sponsored by a certain company, and. So- The one match I was watching, the 8 seed absolutely creamed the 1 seed, and they're talking about how it was a big upset. The 1 seed had headbuds in the whole time. He was locked in it, but he still got his ass kicked.
See, like, how come they didn't like advertise beforehand, or did they?
They did.
Okay, because like I hadn't heard a thing about it until I just saw people like chirping the bags on ESPN.
I guess I wouldn't say they advertised. I wouldn't say they advertised it, but there was blogs that picked it up and everything. It wasn't overly like known, but I think that's kind of they wanted it to be like they didn't want to put a ton of money into it. They wanted it to be more word of mouth, and I think that's what happened.
Yeah, I think it was probably even more effective that way in a way.
Yeah, for sure, and I would bet good money that they're going to do something like it again.
Yeah, like, hey, surprise, we're having cornhole on TV today.
Yeah, and I hope they get really greasy with it. I hope they, like, could you imagine, like, a hide-and-seek championship?
Whew.
Like, they put GoPros in, like, closets
and
shit.
Hidden cameras everywhere in, like, a mansion.
Yes, I'm there for that. No, I'm talking myself into it. I need a hide-and-seek championship.
Yeah, I think I'm actually going to try to compete in it.
You know, you would be good at that. I would be terrible.
you can be the seeker.
Oh, I'd be terrible. I'd give up right away.
Speaking of seeker, we need a Quidditch championship too. Just gotta learn how to fly broomsticks.
Yeah, but they do land Quidditch. Haven't you ever seen those?
Unfortunately,
a bunch of nerds on a private school campus, like with like broomsticks, and they'll just play Quidditch.
Yeah, how does the snitch go?
Don't ask me logistics.
Okay, good.
Don't ask me logistics on real life Quidditch. It's ridiculous.
The only other sport I had written down was badminton, just because whenever that's on TV, I can't turn the channel.
Yeah, but see, you can't count that because that's an Olympic sport.
I was just thinking.
Like, we get that once every 4 years, man. Come on.
You what? Yeah, that's true.
I was watching. Okay, there's another one. Handball. Have you ever watched handball?
That's an Olympic sport.
That's what I'm saying. You brought it up, so I'm saying like handball wrong. I wouldn't have it on ESPN 8 the Ocho, but I enjoy watching handball.
Water polo.
Water polo is okay. Eh.
Field hockey.
Field hockey's good. All right, I think we just named every.
Every non-mainstream
ever. so it's settled. We need a hide and seek championship.
Yeah, that we need to find some higher ups at ESPN.
Yep. Okay. Boom. That's what it is. All right. Well, I think that's it for now. Until next time, Petter. Thanks for coming on.
Yep. See you next week.